Everybody pick up your hymnals. Let's turn to page number 17.
I don't know what
page 17.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to please and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my savior. Riding morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power.
She told me a while ago that she would get even with me, and I don't really think I did anything. You got to watch these girls. Gene, would you watch her for me for a minute?
No, sir.
Oh.
You're on your own.
Evidently, that's a bad sign. Hello. It's good to be here this morning, and the sun is trying to peek through anyway, and it's better than rain, so I think maybe tomorrow's going to be another decent day, and then rain comes back in again, and we get what God wants us to have. We are still kind of in winter whether we know it or not. Everything's trying to bloom, but we'll take it as we get it. It's always sunny in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Power in the blood. Amen. I love that song. And that's what we need to focus on. God and His will in our life. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. We had a good lesson again this morning. I know y'all did as well. We were very blessed with a lot of good teachers here at this church. And don't take your teacher for granted. Pray for them and support them. And God has placed them here for a purpose, and we're glad they're here, and we appreciate their efforts. Not a lot going on right now. It's kind of in the, we always say dog days of summer. I think it's kind of the dog days of winter, isn't it? Kind of in the middle. But it'll all change. I did not wear my Valentine thing. I didn't put red on. It's okay. Some of you did. But I hope you had a good Valentine's Day and took your sweetie out or whatever. And it's okay. All right, this morning, our announcements. Brother Walter, we're going to have a special offering for him as he's still dealing with treatments. And I think they've been a little bit rough this time for sure, and he's missing some work. And then the doctor bills keep coming, so we appreciate, and I know they do, everything that you do for them. So the second time the plate's passed is for him and his family. Next Sunday morning will be our youth fund offering. Our youth fund offering feeds the kids on Wednesday night, does that kind of stuff. So keep that in mind. Prepare as you come. Then Saturday, February the 29th, VBS seminar, North Hills Baptist Church. And that's in Texarkana. So if enough of you want to go and take the van, we need to know so that somebody can drive the van that's on the insurance, and just need to know as soon as possible so we can get that ready if that's the way you want to go. All right, nursery attendance this morning is Mandy Buck and Joyce Hendricks, and then next Sunday will be Miss LaVita Kaiser and Vicki Ragsdale.
Page number 34.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there, not while He waits for you. Listen to His voice, sleep with Him your care, and He can light love you.
Everybody.
Morning, morning.
Woo! I tell you, sometimes it's hard to give last-minute instructions to this choir. But I got to tell you, I love them to death. Last Sunday night, we had a 30-minute choir practice, and I asked them to learn a new song.
I thought it was an old song.
You see what I mean? It's an old song, copyright 1958, but it's new to us. We've never done it before. But you know, they jumped right in with me and we learned this thing. And so we're going to do it for you this morning. By the way, we have a wonderful time in choir practice. If anybody would love to join the choir, we would love to have you.
Amen.
Any time we have new faces in the choir, it just makes us that much better. But we're in a wonderful place this morning. We're here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church, and there's not any place on earth better to be than right here with us this morning.
Amen.
So we're going to sing this song for you this morning. It's entitled, I Want My Light to Shine.
Sunday night after choir practice, right before our Bible study, on the spur of the moment, Brother Gene sang us a special, did a wonderful job. So if you weren't here, you missed that as well. So another good reason to come. Never know what you're going to get. So if you're not coming to the Bible studies on Sunday and Wednesday night, I encourage you to come. Good studies, good fellowship, good time in the Lord. All right. The Lord's Prayer, we continue to work our way through it. We're going to be reading out of 1 Timothy 6, Luke 12, Exodus 16, and John 6. We do a little bit of skipping around here, so I'll try to get you a little bit of time. Remember our theme for the year? I'll say it to you if you can remember it. How long is that going to take? I don't know. Maybe all year. No matter how much I read and learn, if I never apply it, it is what? Useless. Stand with me and we're going to repeat the Lord's Prayer and then we're going to get into our study today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As we continue to work our way through the Lord's Prayer this morning, we are down to the part of it that says, give us this day our daily bread. And so this week we're going to talk about daily bread. And I have a question for you before we begin talking about daily bread. How much is enough? And I know we can go a bunch of different ways with that thought, but we're talking about our daily bread. So how much is enough? We live in a world that is filled with excess, or at least a nation. There's many places in the world that don't. Some that are standing in bread lines and don't have enough food or anything else to go around. But America is the land of plenty. And we have excess of everything. But it seems like that we can never get enough. Do you have enough? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul, I think, puts it better than I know he does, better than I ever could. He says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Pantries full of food, non-perishable items, freezers full of food, money stashed away in, many of you probably have in mason jars buried in your yard. I don't personally have that. But, you know, I look around and I see that we have what we need. So we have money stashed away for rainy days. We are a nation consumed with the pursuit of comforts and preparing for tomorrow. Oftentimes not taking mind of what we're supposed to do today for God. Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer to pray for God to give us our daily bread. Now, I don't want you to leave here this morning saying, well, that old preacher said I shouldn't think about tomorrow, or there's something wrong with me having a little extra money or a little extra food. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we don't need to get consumed and spend our time in excess worrying about tomorrow, because God will take care of our needs. God gave us a brain. God gave us common sense. At least some people have it. Use it. The problem comes in the fact that we're so consumed with laying up for ourselves these treasures here on this earth that we often forget that God promised us that he would take care of our needs. In Matthew chapter 6, we see that we read every week from this chapter in the Lord's Prayer, but we're told that God our Father knows what we need before we even ask for it. God knows what we need. Do we? Do we really know what we need? Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now, I don't know about anybody but me, but I know that I eat more than I have to eat to survive. And I know that God has blessed us greatly, and I haven't missed any meals. I also know that God has furnished me with a very good cook, and I don't want to make her feel bad by not eating what she cooks. But I'm blessed. We are, in America, blessed with a lot. But Jesus tells his disciples, that's his followers, that's us, that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow and what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, because life is a lot more than just what we see and what we take in physically. It's talking about the physical things in life. people are so consumed with the physical things of life, what kind of house we live in, what kind of car we drive, how much money I have so that I can enjoy the pleasures in life. I want you to know something. God wants us to enjoy this life, and God will bless you when you put Him first. But we shouldn't spend all of our time worrying about those things that God knows we have need of. God knows we need clothes to wear, and God knows we need food to eat, and God knows we need a good warm place to live, and He furnishes those things for us, and we worry about them, and we want a bigger one and a better one. And my friend Roy Horn told me a long time ago, I had learned this lesson. He said, "Sam, your water is broke. You need a new neater meter." People need a new neater meter, because needs and wants are a totally different thing. God said He would furnish our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. As we read on down in Luke chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" And I think this time of the year, you know, the deer come out in the field. There's a few little sprigs of green grass, and they anxiously gobble them up. And I look out through the woods, and the browse is all gone. But spring is here. And God saw that the deer and the rabbits and the squirrels and all of the birds and all that stuff had what they needed, even through the hard times of winter, to sustain them through. So how much more will He give us who serve Him? Consider the ravens. They don't sow. They don't plant. They can't ride a tractor and plow the garden. But God furnishes for them. They don't have a storehouse. They don't have a pantry full of canned goods and a freezer full of frozen goods and a store on every corner that you can go and buy more. They don't have that, but God takes care of them. At verse 25 it says, "And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit?" So you don't have the power to grow yourself taller. You don't have the power to give yourself really the things that you need, but God does. Verse 26, "If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then I love this scripture. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then He says, "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Folks, there's nothing wrong with having things. The problem is when things have you. And I'm not telling you to go give all your money away and not I'm not telling you any of that, but what this scripture is telling us and what I believe the whole message of the day is that we worry about things that God knows we need and has promised that He will give us when we seek first Him. You see, there's conditions to getting what we need from God. We're supposed to seek Him first. I've been on the other end of that when I thought I had to work day and night to get things, got things, things had me. I had to work, 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 couldn't even enjoy the things. Anybody else been there? It's real easy to get there. But God said, when we seek first the kingdom, His kingdom, that really means to me His will in our life, then He will furnish us the things that we need. But oh, not only that, He'll furnish us many of the things that we want when we seek first Him. That reminds me of one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible. You hear people say all the time, money is the root of all evil. And that's exactly not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money except when we begin to love it. Have you ever known somebody that had more money than they could ever think about spending and all they could think about was making another dollar? That's what this scripture's talking about. It's the love that causes the problems. Our things are the same way. If we're not careful, they get between us and God, and they cause us to serve idols, because in all reality, an idol is anything that gets between you and God, and that means anything. It could be your spouse, your kids. It could be your car, your boat. It could even be your church. If this church is between you and God, you need to get on the right side of that, because God wants us to serve Him. And that's why we're here. The Israelites. Love the stories of the Israelites. They came out of hundreds of years of slavery. Now, if you go back and you read in the Old Testament where it talks about when Moses came and led the children out of Egyptian bondage, the things that went on, and the Pharaoh made their job harder and harder as they went and as the plagues came. These people had nothing. They had lived down there for hundreds of years as slaves. They barely existed. But when God saw to it that Pharaoh would release them, He gave them the riches of the Egyptian kingdom. They willingly gave them. What'd they do? They took all the wealth and the money, and they went and got there at Mount Sinai, and Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments, and you know what the next thing that happened is? They thought He was gone, so they built Him a golden calf. They worshipped it. God was writing the commandments. Moses came back down. He cast the tablets down. And many of them died because of their idolatry. God had given them everything plus, and they misused it. They wandered around for 40 years in the desert because of it. 40 years in the desert. You know, the desert, the dry, sandy, hot place. They wandered around, some 3 million people and all their animals. The desert's not very conducive to an abundant lifestyle. It's hard just to survive in the desert. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. Exodus 16, 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Think about that for a minute. Slaves, they didn't get much to eat, but I guess they had enough of the pots of the soups and a little bit of bread to fill their stomachs, and now they're a little hungry. So what do? They murmur against God. This is God that delivered them. This is God that sent the plague so that Pharaoh would release them. This is God that parted the Red Sea. This is the God that has the power. And a little bit of hunger pains causes them to murmur against him. And verse 4, then saith the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. We know the story. God literally rained bread, manna, down from heaven. They went out in the mornings and they gathered it, a certain amount. If they gathered more than that, it rotted and it got worms in it, except on the sixth day, because God had commanded them not to work on the Sabbath, so they could gather enough for the seventh day. This little biscuit, if you will, they said it tasted like honey. They called it manna. They didn't have to do anything for it. They didn't have to plant seeds. They didn't have to water a garden. They didn't have to bake it or anything. God gave it to them, and they ate it. Guess what? They got tired of that, and they murmured. And God, in his abundant goodness, gave them quails to go with it. And they survived in the desert. Don't you think about that? 3 million-some people. God gave them enough manna, gave them enough quail to feed them every day. But think about the animals that they had with them. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched any Discovery Channel or anything, but if you look in the desert, there's not an overabundance of grass for the animals to eat, and there's not an overabundance of water. But every day, God not only gave them the manna, then the quail, but he fed their animals, and he provided enough water for them in the desert every day. Do you think God can give us what we need every day? Give us this day our daily bread. You think he loved them any more than he does us? He didn't. Jesus died for all men. Needs. Different than wants. Not only did he furnish their food, he fed their animals along with the water they needed every day. You know, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. Do you remember that story? God told him, the children of Israel were murmuring about not having water. God told him to strike the stone with the staff, and he struck it, and the water flew, came forth. Again, they needed water. God told him to speak to the stone, and he struck it again. God went ahead and gave them the water. But Moses didn't get to enter the promised land because he disobeyed God. But God still provided. You see, we're all guilty of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, in his great love for us, continues to provide our needs and many of our wants because he loves us. I think of those children of Israel, wandering around in the desert, the hot desert, the dry desert, and their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years, their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out. God can and will provide. John 6, and starting in verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us this bread. You see, we focus so much on the physical things that oftentimes we neglect the things that truly matter. This bread that truly came down from heaven that feeds our spirit that sustains our soul, that gives us our eternal life in the presence of God, Jesus Christ. He is the true bread of life that came down from heaven. We know that we need to feed our body. We can't survive without sustenance. But when we lose track of the fact that we're only here for a short period of time, and that this life truly is just preparation for eternity. Let me tell you something, friend. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you die today, that's gain to you because you go to be in the presence of the Lord. In Mark 8, Jesus asked this question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You can have everything that this world offers and not have Jesus Christ. And when you die, you have not got anything you need. It was free for the taking. I can't help but think of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16. The rich man had everything that this life could offer, and Lazarus had nothing. Begged for scraps off the table. The dogs licked his sores. They both died. You see, the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. We all have an appointment with death. Lazarus, when he died, was carried into Abraham's bosom. Today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you die, you go to be in the presence of God. The rich man, he also died. His riches didn't keep him from it. You know, today we have these cryogenic chambers. People are being froze, hopefully to be thawed out and cured of their diseases in time to come. Let me tell you something, friend. When you die without Christ, you open your eyes in hell and torment just like the rich man. The choice that you make while you're alive here on this earth is the choice you'll carry through eternity. Who made the most of his time here on this earth? The rich man or Lazarus? John 6 and 35, and Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Y'all know, you've heard me say so many times in John chapter 14, John 6, 14 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, we can spend a whole life here on this earth amassing wealth, glory, fame, fortune. But if we neglect the things that deal with our spiritual life, we truly are a failure. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much property you own, if you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, you've failed. Because this life is so short. What bread are we eating? What bread are we eating? John 6 and 48, Jesus again, he said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Life here on this earth is short. The Bible tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. 60 years, I'll be 60 this fall. And I think about it, and I think those 60 years have went by like a blink. I can still remember when I turned 13. It's been a long time ago. I can remember how much I longed for that day, because I could be a teenager. I can remember distinctly, couldn't wait till I was 16. I could get my driver's license. Boy, I was really going to be somebody because I could drive. And then 21 and now 60. And that all happened in about 2 weeks. And if you don't believe it, just wait. It goes by in the blink of an eye. And yes, I still have to eat to survive. And yes, I still need water. But here's what I want you to know. 52 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. He came into my heart and saved my soul from the penalty of sin. And because of what he did for me, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I remember just as vividly as if it was yesterday or last night that I was so afraid that if I died, I would go to hell because I knew in my heart that I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And whenever I walked that aisle and whenever I had Jesus come into my heart, I've not worried about that since. I worry about it less now than I did then, because I look forward to the day when I can go home and be with the Lord. I don't worry about tomorrow and what it holds. I don't worry about tomorrow. I try to live today like it's the last day that I'm going to have here on this earth. You see, God promised us that he'd take care of our needs. So don't worry about the things you need. Worry about seeking the kingdom of God and allow God to bless you with what you need. And be content with what you have. And God will bless you so greatly. 2 Timothy 1 and 12, the Apostle Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, God, for the promises that you've given us in your word. I thank you for the assurances that when I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to save my soul, that my eternal destiny is sealed and that you keep it safe, and that this journey truly is about being more spiritually mature than it is getting things and having money. Our daily bread really is our spiritual walk with God. That's why we're here. The most important thing that you can do is to walk daily with Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke, we're told very plainly, take up your cross daily. You see, every day, we have to take up that cross and follow Jesus. Not because we have to be saved over and over again, but because of the bread that's given to us every day, this spiritual bread, is the most important thing that this life can give us. Walking and talking with God and following his direction in our lives so we are prepared for eternity. Eternity. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not here on this earth. So why are we worried about tomorrow? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to worry about. Enjoy what God gives you. Listen, friend, God's blessed us here greatly. Our church family, these wonderful facilities. But mostly the Spirit of God lives here. We are so blessed. So what are we worried about? Nothing. I ain't worried about anything. Because Jesus Christ has me in the palm of his hand. So why worry about tomorrow? Because I have Jesus today. Thank you, Jesus. Things going on in our time that would scare the living daylights out of anybody that don't know Jesus Christ. If you open your eyes and look around. But if you have Jesus, and you open your eyes and you look around and you study His Word, you know you have nothing to fear but fear itself. This life is just stationary for our departure to be in the presence of God. Give us this day our daily bread. And might I add, thank you, God, for furnishing us what we need, your Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, it's not too late. God has given you another opportunity. And when you accept Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. And listen, maybe you're here and you know Jesus Christ and there's things going on in your life and that cause you to have concerns. I want you to know this morning that God still loves you just as much as He did when He saved you. And all you have to do is give your cares and your concerns to Him. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a promise, friend. So say, friend, if there's things in your life that are just weighing you down, I advise you to listen to the Scripture. Take your daily bread. Give your cares to the one who can take care of them, Jesus Christ. Lay them at the altar. Listen. Come down here. Right down here. Give your concerns and your worries and your problems to Jesus. He said He'd take them. But listen to me, friend. When you get up and go back to your pew, don't take them back with you. Give them to Him. Leave them in His capable hands. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, God, for the promises. And thank you for our daily bread. I'll ask you to stand with me if our song leader and our pianist will come. As we pray, our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, there's been many lessons that I've had to learn through this life. And Lord, sometimes I have to learn them over and over again because I'm so bullheaded. But Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your promises, and I thank you for giving us our daily bread and furnishing us our needs. And Lord, I thank you for many of the wants that you allow us to have. But Lord, may we never get our wants in front of our needs. And we need you every day. And we need your help every day. And we need your protection every day. And Lord, this nation, this world needs you more every day. The Scripture says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. Lord, that's us. We are your people. We thank you for the blessing of being in such a great nation as this, but I pray for our leaders, Lord, that they would focus on your will and not theirs or ours. I thank you most especially for Jesus Christ and for Him coming and giving His life on that cross for us, keeping us saved in spite of ourselves. Lord, if there's any here this morning that are burdened and have problems, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would convict and they would just give that to you. Just give it to you. I know you'll take it. You said you would. Lord, I pray your will be done in each and every life. If there's any lost this morning, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would convict. If there's any doubts, Lord, I pray that you would work in such a way in that person that those doubts would be removed. Whatever is necessary to do that, Lord, I leave in your hands. I thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Page number 190.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling
hear him calling you? Do you hear that still small voice? The Holy Spirit working? Say, Christian, get the stuff out of your life. Focus on serving God. Think, and the Bible tells us that God won't put any more on us than we can bear. And sometimes it seems like we're bearing a big, heavy load. But I think that goes along with what I was saying a while ago. If the load gets too heavy, friend, Jesus is right there to take it. You see, I have to tell myself that all the time, too. Because we all get burdened in one way or another. Things that happen in this life that get in the way of our serving God the way that He would have us to serve Him. But all we have to do is give it to Jesus. He'll take it. He will take it. Seek ye first. Seeking, that's a verb where I came from, and it requires action. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things will be added to you. Don't get the cart before the horse. Well, I'm saved, preacher. Okay. Okay. Thank God for that. Greatest decision you ever made. But are you seeking God first in your life? It's a big difference. Seek you first. Come unto me, all you that labor. What's on your heart today? As we sing another verse.
Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you away.
Coming our way today. It's been a wonderful day here at the house of the Lord. Had a good Sunday school class. And there's some holes and gaps of folk that are missing, and not feeling well, this, that, and the other. And so keep them in your prayer that they'd be well again.